Dear Lord, we're thankful for the Sabbath this morning, and thank you that we can assemble together and worship you, and we do ask for a Sabbath day's blessing, and we ask for your presence here this morning as well. Pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading today is in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Would you like to turn with me? Mark 13, 33. It says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's okay to say that I don't get tired of hearing my wife play. Let's say a prayer before we start. Dear Lord, I ask for your words and that those that are here would receive a blessing from being here today. We ask these things in your name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 1. I'll read and you can follow along. I'm going to read a few verses to get you familiar with the setting and the story a little bit. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Obviously that was foreign god. Go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease or injury. Did I say 1 Kings? Sorry about that. I'm in 2 Kings. I saw a little bewilderment out there. And if you want to be humbled, just make sure and make a mistake first thing so everybody knows that we're in the second book of Kings, the first chapter, first verse. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this disease or injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise and go to meet the messengers from the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, this is the king of Samaria. This is, king of the chosen people here. And he's going to go check with the god of Ekron to see if he's going to recover from these injuries. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up unto us to meet us, and said unto us, Go turn again to the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they said, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. The story goes on, and the king sent men to go inquire of Elijah, and Elijah called down fire from God and destroyed two groups of 50 men and their captains. And he was just illustrating that God was on his side because he was doing God's will. He was doing what God asked him to do. And when those men came to see him, and we'll continue to read, but the point I want you to make is, or see is, why should God listen to Elijah? Because he was God's prophet. We'll continue to read. The king sent unto a captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, and said, Thou man of God, the king has said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. Elijah answered and said, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the fire from God came down and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent a captain of the third 50 with his 50. Now, I'm getting nervous now if I'm the third guy showing up here. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to think of a different plan than has been executed so far. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him to the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore shalt thou not come down off that bed on which you art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year because he had no son. God needs to do some miraculous things at times to get our attention, to get everyone's attention, to let us know that we aren't to serve the gods of Baal, gods of this world, gods of wood and stone, pride, self-seeking, gods of prosperity and what the world thinks of us and reputation and whatever might be our gods of today. Okay, we aren't sending someone to inquire of the god of Ekron, but we do frequently want to know what the world thinks, what they think of us and how we're doing compared to what everybody else thinks. We have only one boss to answer to. We have only one God to answer to. We have only one God to inquire of. Lord, what should I do? Where did he go wrong? Remember now, this is a king of part of Israel. Where'd he go wrong? I don't want to lose you right here. I if nothing else, hear this. That he went wrong because he didn't remind himself and his family daily where he'd been in the past. Has God answered any of your prayers? Have you trusted God with anything and had him come through? Remind yourself daily. If he's answered you, if he does hear your prayers, trust him with
what you need to know. Trust him with those prayers. Somewhere along the line, that king lost sight of the manna that fell in the wilderness. He lost sight of the plagues that were stayed for the children of Israel versus the ones that fell on Egypt. Somewhere he lost sight of the water coming out of the rock, the parting of the Red Sea. You know, we look for miracles in our life. We need to pray for miracles in our life. And then when they come, we need to look back and say, God was there. And look back daily, and if need be, hourly. Don't be caught sending someone to the God of Ekron who couldn't hear or answer your prayers any more than, you know, that chair right there. Where did he lose sight? He was deceived. You know, he didn't come down. That became his deathbed, and he didn't come down from it. And the reason those men were destroyed, I believe, is that they were, who went up to tell him to come down and see the king, they weren't showing him proper respect. You know, the people had forgotten. The people need to be reminded that the God that we worship has power over everything. We need to remember where we've come from, what we believe, what the foundations are. Don't lose your grip on it. Don't become entranced with what the world has to offer. The truth is, the world does have more to offer today than what God has in terms of today. So the world would deceive you into thinking. The world would have you choose to be partying with the group that didn't get on the ark. They were actually having a pretty good time outside the ark, you know, feasting and marrying and having a great time, living close to 1,000 years. Let's not get nervous. Noah doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't be deceived. Satan may have some things to offer that are alluring today and tomorrow. But keep the big picture in mind. Ahaziah didn't keep the big picture in mind. He allowed himself to be deceived. Remind yourself daily. There was a girl, her name was Carol, and she worked in an insurance office. And by an insurance office, I mean a huge insurance office. And she went there right after she got out of school and kind of starting at the bottom, you might say. Insurance offices... Those people can offer actually pretty good jobs because they don't actually produce anything. They are takers. They take our money and hope to pay very little of it back in claims, as little as possible. And I witnessed that when I was down in Mississippi after Katrina, cleaning up down there, and the fight they would put up against paying the claims was amazing. The struggle people had to go through to get their money, it was amazing. So insurance companies have plenty of money. And if you work or are an insurance agent or work for one, these are just the facts. I'm just giving you the true picture here. If you've ever been by the headquarters for any insurance agency, and you can name any you want, Prudential, Hartford, whatever. There's some of the most magnificent buildings in any city is an insurance headquarters. It's amazing. And this particular girl worked for an insurance company in Connecticut, and she was at the headquarters. And they had a tremendous, you know, it was glass on the outside completely. It looked like mirrors, the entire building, only it looked like kind of like copper mirrors, so that it was almost like it was rainbows when the sun would shine on it. It was amazing, you know, and I forget, it was several stories high and was really an amazing building. And she applied to work there, and just as a, you know, secretary or whatever to be get started. And she saw that building and was quite impressed and went for an interview, and she got hired for the job. But when she went for her first day of the work, they gave her an address, and it wasn't at that building to go work there. And well, she was actually within sight of that building, but quite a long ways away, maybe like 600 feet away. She was in a different building, and it was an older brick building, not nearly as fancy, a nice building. And she found out after working there for a little bit that it was the former headquarters. It's where she, you know, they used to have the headquarters, and now they had, you know, this tremendous building. And she worked for men, three men actually, and she did research on, you know, old claims and things and what had been done historically in different situations. And the people in her office, there were men and women in her office. It was a pretty large office, who kind of did her job as well, doing research for people who handled large claims. And, you know, most things today are on computer, all on, you know, records or everything. They're all, you know, on computer and backed up and everything, and they're all on file that way. But the records before 1970 had never been transferred to computer records. They still had, in this old headquarters, you know, some records, and some had been transferred to the new building, the basement of the new building, to because sometimes they needed to look back and see how they paid claims and what the reasons were, and, you know, research the situation. And when she went to work there, they kind of kidded her and said, wait till you get sent to the new building to go research some project. Well, it was quite a while. She'd worked there a few weeks, you know, and she'd never been sent over there. But everyone would make mention, wait till you have to go over there. Wait till you have to go over there. It's a real experience, you know, and didn't think too much of it. And one day, you know, her job was such that she needed to go over there. And so the office manager, more or less, you know, said, yeah, actually, you don't go outside to go over there. There's a series of tunnels that lead to that new building. When we built it in close enough proximity to be able to get to our other building without leaving if we needed to, you know. And so we'll tell you how to get there. And everybody was kind of chuckling, you know, this would be her first time having to go over to the basement of the other building. And so she sat down to some of her work, and some friends came over and said, all right, now we're going to give you the straight scoop here. You go down another floor, and in the city, you know, the series, the subways, and the sewer lines, and the power lines, and water lines, and drain systems, and, you know, everything. And so underneath the city is a maze of things.
And they told her, there is a tunnel that goes from here to there, but it's actually kind of scary the first time you go through. And because of that, you have to make several turns, and it's kind of dark down there and not very much fun. It won't take you long. It's only 500 or 600 feet, but you know, it's a little scary to go through it. And they said, so what they've done is, once you go down one more floor below the basement, more or less, and get out in the hallway, there are footprints kind of in the hallway, look like white footprints. And just follow those, and it'll kind of, you know, the turns you need to make, it'll kind of direct you down the different hallways. Just don't leave the path, because there's all kinds of hallways that lead into all different directions. And so she's getting a little nervous about this, you know. I mean, where are they sending me, you know, into the bowels of the city? You know, I'm not... I thought I was going to be working on the 8th story of this really cool building, you know, and be able to tell everybody, oh, you know, when you go on the interstate and you go by that big headquarters, that's where I work, you know. And yeah, okay. And she's in this dumpy little building, you know, and having to go through this this trial, really, to get to that building to do her job. And so she starts traipsing out through, and they did tell her, there is security, you won't see anybody, but there's cameras, and there's guys who walk that hallway because they know people have to use it. There is security, but, you know, just listen to what we told you, you know. She was going out through the hallway, and she got a few hundred feet down there, and she saw a workman off to the side here. Those three guys, they had a ladder, and she could hear a radio playing and doing different things. And one of them said, hey, come this way. This is a shortcut out to, you're going down to the basement of the new building, right? This is a shortcut out through here. And at first, she started immediately to turn over there, because, you know, why should anybody tell her anything that wasn't true, you know? And she took about 2 steps and realized, you know, I don't really know these guys. And they did say stay on the footsteps, so I'm gonna keep heading in that direction. She just kind of waved them off and kept going. And she eventually came out and right where she was supposed to, you know, and did her job. And the more she went through that hallway, the less fearful it was. But, you know, it's kind of like that for us, too. If we want to come out at the destination that we say we want to come out, we need to follow those footsteps. Whether it's the Bible or the spirit of prophecy, whatever it might be, we need to follow those footsteps. We need to not deviate. We need to listen to direction. Listen to the path we're supposed to follow. Keep it in mind. Don't let... There's a lot of advice out there today. Don't let it overwhelm you or convince you. Don't be like that king that got so far off track that he looked for his advice from the god of Ekron. Look for your advice where we can trust, where we know for sure. We know where God has led us in the past. It may have been through the wilderness. It may have been through a tough track. But we came out the other side. He gave us water along the way and food and provided for us and let us know that his presence was there through, like in the Israelite times, was in the cloud, you know, and it was... You need to remind yourself daily that God has led us in the past, He is going to lead us in the future. Stay on that path. Stay in the footprints. He should have sent the men to see Elijah to begin with. Will I recover? Didn't Hezekiah send someone to see a prophet? Am I going to die or am I going to live a little longer? You know, he forgot where he'd been led in the past. We need to send for the prophets, you might say. Have confidence in where we've been daily. Lord, I pray when the roll is called up yonder that each of us will be there. Guide us this week through another week and that we would meet again next week. We pray these things in your name, amen.